Heart. You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
What is heart? Heart is running through a return man when the game is on the line. Heart is giving everything you have in practice, day after day. Heart is finding the strength to run down the field one more time when you can barely breathe. The heart in me pumps Husker Red.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of the Five Heart Podcast, brought to you by Coronation.com, hosted on JitteryMonkey.com, part of the Jittery Monkey family of podcasts. My name is Greg Mahochko. I'm joined, as always, by Hoss Reuter and the law firm. I don't know if probably going to get, you know, some litigation thrown our way if we use the word law. But the firm of Hoss and Hooch is back, and we're joined this episode by Coronation's volleyball guru, and that is Ty Peter Onitz. Ty, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, gentlemen. How are we doing tonight?
We're doing well. Hoss, you're the best in the best shape of all of us because you don't have to work tomorrow like I do. You don't have to travel across Nebraska tomorrow like Ty does. You just have a day off tomorrow. What is that like?
You know, after the day I had at work today, it's a godsend. If I didn't have tomorrow off, I probably would have quit my job today. It was the top 10 worst day I've had there in 7 years.
I don't want to dispute that, and I don't want to, you know, play the my day was worse than your day. But I have an interesting story from my line of work today. I got trapped in an elevator.
Oh.
I didn't think those things happened except in the movies. Not only that, but I got trapped in an elevator. First of all, it's a two-story building. So even if I would have fallen, it wouldn't have been, like, devastating. And I know what you're thinking, everybody listening at home. Hey, Fatty, why don't you take the stairs? Well, because I was delivering a cart full of water to the second floor, and that doesn't work so well on stairs. So I was using the elevator. And myself and the guy who was, I'd never been to this particular building before, so I had a guy there who was showing me where the water goes, met me in the lobby, and we start, you know, getting the elevator and hit that up button. And I didn't think the elevator moved. He didn't think the elevator moved, and we couldn't open either door. You know, we hit number two, nothing happened. We tried opening up the door, you know, on the main floor, thinking that we didn't move, nothing happened. We got stuck about 3 feet up off the ground of the first floor. So we pried open the door. I mean, we called for help. The phone that actually works in those elevators called for help there in the office, and a couple of guys came down, and they pried the outside door open. We pried the inside door open. Eventually, somebody got a ladder. We got out. We got the water out. And then what was really nice is all the guys who were there who helped us get out of the elevator, they all each grabbed a bottle or two of water and carried it up the steps with me so that I could complete my delivery. Just the whole ordeal took about 20 minutes, but, you know, I was joking. I'm like, the guy who was showing me where the water goes, his name was Dustin. I'm like, I can see the headlines now. In a fit of cannibalistic rage, Dustin, you know, kills the guy he was trapped in the elevator with. So I wasn't going to be the murderer. I was going to put that on him. But, yeah, just crazy.
It's going to be like the Donner Party.
Yeah, the saddest Donner Party of all time. I mean,
that is the most 21st century Donner Party I can imagine.
Yeah, but the joke, of course, in this line of work is, you know, I had a cart full of water, so it was like, well, at least we won't go thirsty, ha ha ha.
Yeah, I mean, you could have lasted 30 days in there.
I had, let's see, 450 gallons of water. We would have been all right. So, no.
You don't have to pee in it, though.
That's really bad math. I didn't have 450 gallons. I had 45 gallons.
That's really bad math.
Oh, it's late. What can I say? So we were talking a little bit before we officially started the show, and Ty, you've been on the road almost all summer. What have you been doing?
Everything. I don't just, you know, write expert volleyball pieces for Coronation, but I do coach volleyball, and I think we've mentioned that. We've talked about that
for sure.
Our podcast. But I started off June 19th, I left for Orlando for a week, which a lot of people go, oh, yay, that'll be great fun. No, it was a week of mostly being in charge of 15-year-old girls, coaching them, trying to herd them, trying to keep them all in one place, trying to keep them alive and keep track of them. And it really was great. The girls played well, had a nice tournament. But I was home for two nights from that before we turned around and went up to Okoboji in Iowa for three nights. That was with my wife and my son and my parents and a couple friends of ours. We had a great time up there, got back from that on a Sunday night, turned around the following Thursday after throwing a 4th of July party at our house. First trip that ended up us being out here in Colorado. We return from this trip tomorrow back to Lincoln. And I turn around on Sunday, get one of the 12 passenger vans from Dorchester Public School out in Saline County. Come back out here with my volleyball team from Dorchester for a week of volleyball camps before I'll be home Friday for good for the rest of summer.
And we need to remind everybody because you did become a dad last fall. So
yep, December.
How was your first Father's Day?
It was great. If we're being really honest, I don't feel like Father's Day is a holiday I deserve a whole lot for. I haven't done a lot this year nor any year, but it was great. We had a really nice time. It's just been, you don't know this yet that you know of, being a dad's awesome. I really enjoy it. It's been a ton of fun. He's a great kid, has a great temperament, and he's sleeping well like a baby right now. So
that's about all you can ask for even in the mountain time zone, where everything's, an hour behind. So let's jump to it. Everybody knows, why we're here, and that is the cross-examination. And, of course, we've talked before. Ty's not a stranger to the show, although I think, if memory serves me right, this might be the first time where all three of us have had working internet, working sound, and able to sit down and have a conversation together. Is that right, Haas? Your memory is much better than mine.
Yeah, that was the time that Ty and I had to steer the ship back in December.
Yeah.
Talk some football and volleyball, and it was a little bit of a hair-raising experience.
With another device open so that Hooch could send us questions or send us conversation starters if need be. But I don't think he really had to. We did a nice job. He was mostly in the back cheering us on.
That's what I do.
We just kind of jabbered on and on. And, that was on the heels of hiring Scott Frost and right before the Nebraska National Championship in volleyball. So we had a lot to cover. I think we covered some beer topics, about
as
the greatest drink of all time, Coors Banquet.
Oh, geez.
So,
okay. We're not this again. I'm enjoying a nice meal goes around. You didn't even wait, man. We're like 3 minutes into this.
Yep. No easing into a street fight, Ty.
Although
I'm usually walking slowly away.
I will say this, if I ever get, when I get to Lincoln, we're going to go and record an episode down in the cave at Blue Blood Brewing Company, with your permission, Ty.
Permission granted. I'm on it. That'll work.
Sweet.
We can absolutely make that happen. I am confident.
And you'll just, not you specifically, but they will just keep supplying us with beers while we're down there? I didn't hear any of that. Try again.
I'm sure we can make something happen. I'm sure we can make something happen.
I think Haas and I could run up a hell of a tab at Blue Blood Brewing Company, Lincoln, Nebraska.
I believe that you can. I don't know who you think is paying for that, but
I didn't say
John Johnson.
There you go.
That's fair.
I like that. And since he's not listening anyway, we can each put a tab and probably a meal on that. So, well, let's get to it. And Haas is so good, he doesn't even need to have his questions out. So we're going to let him fire the first one.
All right, Ty. Let's
what's up?
You swear to tell the truth. I butchered that shit. <Damn it. laughs> Okay, we're just gonna go with the regular standby. Are you a Nebraska native?
I am not.
Whoa.
I was born and raised in Boulder, Colorado. Actually, just outside of Boulder. I was born and raised in the house that I'm standing in right now, as a matter of fact, in Lafayette. I am less than 10 miles as the crow flies, almost due east from Folsom Field, home of the University of Colorado Golden Buffaloes. Funny, we just found as we were sorting through my stuff, because my mom goes, oh, good, you're here. Take some shit back to Nebraska with you so I can clean out your clown, the CU football program from the year after they won the national title, which includes their record against number one teams, which as of 1991, they proudly proclaimed being 0-9 against number one teams. So they put that in the football program there just to make sure people knew.
What a bunch of douches.
I'm not going to lie.
Go ahead.
Saying that you were in the house that you grew up in, and when you started to say that you're, you know, 10 miles, or, you know, you were starting to say less than 10, I'm like, he's going to say he's less than 10 feet from the bed he lost his virginity in.
I could. Well, no, we don't have that bed anymore.
This is truly coordination after dark, y'all.
We really. Y'all, it's still light here, just FYI, but. No, that bed is long gone.
Probably for the best.
Torch it.
It was a water bed. I just want you guys to know.
Oh God! Wait. are you secretly 53 years old? Nobody under 50 has ever had a water bed.
So my wife is sitting in the other room, and she can only hear on my end of the conversation. She looks at me and goes, "Are you talking about the bed you lost your virginity in?"
Yes. Yes, you are.
You'll have to listen to the show to find out.
53, but I am openly 37. So I don't know what else you want from me on that.
All right. It's no secret. I mean, we kind of secretly, not even secretly, we knew that you were a Colorado native. And the next question that we have, we already know that as well. Because the question is, what is your day job? But I'll let you remind the good folks listening at home, at work, or in the car.
Say that again. I missed part of the question because I was coughing. I know.
I was going to say, we already know what your day job is. I know it's not been a secret here on the show, but remind the folks who are listening at home, at work, or in the car.
Yes, I am the fourth grade teacher and head volleyball coach for Dorchester Public School in Dorchester, Nebraska.
Saline County.
Yes, you got it.
I got it wrong. Saline County. Like Celine Dion.
Right, it's pronounced like Celine Dion, but spelled like the stuff that you squirt up your nose in the winter when you get too many bloody noses, or maybe that's just me.
I think that... Well, you also have the elevation disadvantage, so...
In Lincoln? Oh, you're just talking because I'm 6'7".
Because you're tall.
We can go ahead and... Those of you who are listening at home that didn't know that I'm an enormous human being.
But you know what they say is, giant of a man... giant heart.
That is about the only thing that is giant, yes.
This has gone CN after dark for sure.
CN after dark.
Like a Honda Accord. It's mid-size, but most people like it when they're, you know, never mind.
We got to slap on the NSFW tag.
Y'all should see the pride in my wife's eyes right now.
Hoss, please go. I got to take a drink of water.
All right. Let me queue up the next question here before we get too far off the rails. Since you're raised in a old Bill McCartney land out there, are you a lifelong Husker fan?
I cannot honestly claim lifelong. I can't give an exact date for the start of my Husker fandom. I know I was a passionate Buffs fan when they won the national title in 91, I guess it was, because it was, you know, January 1st or 2nd or whatever. But my aunt and uncle, who were lifelong Husker fans, wanted to convert one of us, and I was either the most weak-minded or the most intelligent, depending on which perspective you choose to take. And so I know I was a Husker fan before the 94 national title. Like, it wasn't that season. That wasn't what turned. I was a fan before that happened. So somewhere in those couple of years, I became a Husker fan.
Aside from...
We'll allow it.
Yeah, for sure. And aside from, you know, the gentle persuasion of, you know, a family member, is there any specific event or moment in your youth that really galvanized you as a Husker fan?
You know, I would say, because I was as much as a Husker fan, you know, this was the mid-90s, and so it wasn't like I was getting to watch a lot of Husker games out here on television. And Colorado fans sure thought that was the biggest rivalry of all time. So my Husker fandom was not well received. But I will say, watching Tommy Frazier in the national championship game, because I had a little, it was one of those little handheld TVs that took four AA batteries and had an antenna about 4 foot long that you pulled up and out, and that was how I watched that national title game sitting in bed. That probably galvanized it there.
I remember TVs like that. I didn't have one personally, but I remember, you know, seeing them in that era, you know, and I was, you know, 10, 11, 12 years old, and those were remarkable pieces of technology for that time.
Yeah. Yeah, they really were. They got every over-the-air channel.
So, Haas, you don't know this, but years ago before cable, there were things called antennas that went on television.
No. I grew up on an acreage with three TV channels for a while, so I'm familiar.
The president's on every channel.
Man, I love me some PBS, and that's where my love of watching the news began, because there's nothing else.
Yeah, that's fair. I was going to make so. Oh, my! The other thing that we discovered as we were digging through boxes up here was two of the first cell phones that I ever had. I'm pretty sure my wife put pictures of those up on her Facebook page. I should pull them off and put them on the Coronation group. One's a flip phone, and one's an old Motorola Peanut. No, I'm not quite bag phone years old.
Yeah, you're probably about 10 years behind that.
Yeah, I'm flip phone years
I had, old. I had the
phone you?
The little Nokia thing that was with the yellow screen. Yep. Yes.
Motorola StarTAC.
Oh, God. Haas, you got the next one, sir?
Yeah, hold on. My phone wigged out on me for a second. I was pulling up. I forgot the third question.
All right, so we've
covered actually 1, 2, 3, 4. So this cross-examination, you're passing with flying colors, even though you're throwing in a little bit of self-incriminating type stuff. You can plead the fifth at any moment. So
that's deprecating, not incriminating, but carry on.
Okay. Hey, I respect that. Who's your favorite all-time Husker? Any sport.
My favorite all-time Husker, any sport. I feel like there are certain volleyball players that I should mention because I still play volleyball with them from time to time. But they probably won't listen to this anyway. I've always had a special place in my heart for white guys that are wide receivers that wear 87 because I'm a Broncos fan too, and Eddie McCaffrey just was. That was it. So I would say, honestly, and it's a weird choice, but I was a big Nate Swift fan. Playing volleyball against him, I like him even better. So I will say my favorite all-time Husker will be Nate Swift.
Man, that return he had against Virginia Tech in 08, damn. Mm-hmm.
Is this a safe space?
Yeah.
Of course it's a safe space.
Nate Swift was my
podcast.
What's that?
Your podcast.
That doesn't mean...
You have a man crush on Nate Swift.
I did. That was my first man crush. So, what a stud.
My wife is shaking her head knowingly. I'm glad we don't play volleyball there anymore.
Nate Swift was the epitome of a football guy. Real gritty. Coach's son out on the field.
Yeah, and he
white wide receiver.
He married a volleyball player, and so now because he's an athlete, he plays volleyball at a pretty high level too.
Seems unfair.
Yeah. I'm like a bull in a china shop trying to play volleyball.
I'm going to go slightly out of order because I want to ask another positive question. Just because I think I know the answer, I think. I'm going to ask the question. I'm going to lay out my reasoning. I'm going to lay out what I think the answer or answers are, and then I'm going to have you shoot them down.
All right. That sounds like a plan.
All right. So the question is, what is your favorite Husker sports moment? Now, one idea that I had was the 2015 Volleyball National Championship. When the ladies beat Texas and were pretty well dominant, you know, throughout the entire season. The other one would be last year's national championship, 2017, because if I remember correct, in talking to you at that time, it was the team that I don't want to say overachieved, but wasn't necessarily supposed to be a championship caliber or quality team. So one of those two, and I know that you were courtside for the Texas one, so I thought maybe that might play in it as well. So dispel my my rumor and innuendo, if you will. Tell me where I'm wrong, tell me where I'm right, or go completely off the grid and pick another one.
I was actually courtside for this year, too, because I got permission from the wife that if girls made the national championship match, because it was in Kansas City, I could go down and do it. So I went down the day of the match, covered the match, stayed with my cousin in Falls City on the way back up from Kansas City that night. So I was courtside for this year's team. And you're absolutely right about this year's team. There was really until the regional semifinals, I didn't really think that they were a team that was national championship caliber, but they man, that team, talk about intangibles and grit and grind. But yes, you were absolutely right in saying my favorite Husker sports moment would be the 2015 national championship, because courtside at CenturyLink Center, we beat Texas, which was just awesome. Being down there in the media pit, and there was some other personal stuff that was involved in that. My best friend's sister was one of the Texas assistants at the time. And so my best friend and her mom were there too. So, I got to see them quite a bit over that weekend. But, having the streamers come down and being courtside and all that stuff with that match, and seeing the girls win it and being there live, seeing those young women win it and being there live for that national championship, absolutely is my favorite Husker sports moment.
I like that. I had a feeling that, because you're our volleyball guy, that it would be, and because volleyball has been the most successful program at Nebraska in, recent memory.
Bowling has been
pretty
damn successful too.
Correct. I apologize to all of our bowling enthusiasts. R.I.P. Brian.
That's exactly. Yep. Gotta remember who started this podcast, homie.
And that's also the reason we haven't had much bowling coverage on Coronation or on the podcast.
Because none of the rest of us know how to talk about it. Like, he threw the ball and knocked the white things down. Was that good?
Yeah. And the white
real waxed up, threw a 16-pound ball. A few of the white things went down. Yeah.
Little red.
That one went in the ditch. On the side. Why are there ditches on the side? When I go, there's like these little rails that make sure it doesn't happen.
Yeah, I can't bowl to save my life.
I can't wait for your son to be a better bowler than you, Ty.
I can't wait for my son to be better at nearly everything than I am.
Well, that's true.
As long as the poor kid is not taller than me, and it's not a personal thing, like I'm not going to be mad, I'm not going to be like, oh, he's taller than me. But I know how much it sucks to be built like this,
sure,
and this tall, and finding pants, for example, is damn near impossible.
Yeah, I don't have that problem.
You say you don't have that problem, Hoss?
No, 5'10", I can walk into anywhere and find a pair of jeans.
There you go.
I'm 6'7", I need a Cliff Bar and a guide.
Godspeed.
I need a damn Sherpa. I gotta pay somebody to go into the mall beforehand.
Warn everybody.
No, he's got to pick out what stores might have it.
Oh.
There are a few things more disappointing for me than a shopping trip to go buy pants.
Casual men's XL.
But the problem is those big and tall places, it's an and. I am not big, I am just tall. I am 6'7" at 207 pounds. I have it, and I'm going to throw it out there for the coordination. Well, I have a 33-inch waist and a 38-inch inseam.
Good Lord. How are you not playing, like, tight end in the NFL? I mean,
well, because let's just say that Ty's athleticism didn't kick in till he was about 22.
I get it. I'm more athletic at 27 now than I was when I played high school football.
I might be in the best shape of my entire life right now. So my athleticism is probably at its highest level until the back problems kick in, because I'm 37 and 6'7", and then I look real old and slow for a couple of days.
And I could see, pants, you know, and difficulty finding them being what they are. But also, I imagine being in a plane is not comfortable for you.
Not generally. You know, and like, for example, when we go car shopping, the vehicles that we own, two of the three, because the third vehicle that we own is a beautiful, all original 1957 Chevrolet.
Yes.
That listeners, Mr. Mahochko played a huge role in helping me track down and narrow down what we were going to buy because he is a good friend.
I do what I can.
But hey, we'd do the same thing for you on our end if we could. But both vehicles that we own are bigger than we would have liked because with these long ass legs, there was no way I was going to buy. I couldn't get the smaller size and then still be able to get a car seat behind me, which was inevitable. So both vehicles that we own are the next size bigger than what we would have bought had we gotten our first choice.
And which is funny because, and this is said out of love, but your wife could fit in a smart car.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, she's about 5'7", and she is the athlete in the family, so hopefully ever gets her athleticism and my size, he'll be balling.
Cannot wait. We only have 16 short years until he starts popping up on 247 or Huddle. It'll be brilliant.
Yep. That's the hope, at least. But you know what? No pressure. He's going to do what he wants to.
That's how we are as well. You know, if it's athletics or the arts or, you know, as long as he's doing something productive, you know, not being a couch potato. I was a couch potato and it turned out poorly for me in the long run. So,
yeah. You know, as long as he's happy, man, that's the most important thing.
Well, I mean, I was a pretty happy couch potato, but I'm paying for it at 36 years old. So
fair enough. Understood.
All right. Hoss, you've got the next one, and I know it's one of your favorite questions to ask.
All right, yes, this is where we get some real insight into the mind of our subjects of the cross-examination. Out of the four failed coaching hires post-Tom Osborne, Frank Solich, Bill Callahan, Bo Pelini, or Mike Riley, who do you wish would have been most successful out of those four?
I'm torn between two. I'm torn between Pelini, who is probably my second choice, and I think Solich. I think I would have liked to have seen Solich be successful because it would have been a steadying force on the program. And, you know, I also think that we wouldn't have seen at least the Callahan era and probably not Pelini and Riley. We might be looking at Scott Frost replacing Solich a couple of years down the road. But again, this is all conjecture, so who knows? Conjecture is a word, guys, that means – your listeners know, but I'm going to say for you guys, it's a word that means just guesses based on nothing.
Ouch.
But I would have liked to have seen Solich be successful. Just kind of – and another part of that is because, you know, people seem to yearn nonstop for Osborne. And I get it. I get the success that we had back then. And I think that Solich probably would have had the best chance to keep Nebraska at that level because you're also looking at not those 4 years, 5 years of transitioning to a different coach's style of football like we had with Callahan. You know, you had Solich's guys in here, and then you got a completely different style of football, and then Pelini's a different style, and then Riley's a different style, and now we're back to a different style with Frost. So, you know, the continuity would have been nice, and I think we would have seen the kind of football that Husker fans expect for a longer, more continuous time frame.
There is, and this is phrasing that's more at home on my other podcast, Nerds United, on the Jerry Monkey Podcast Network, which, by the way, your brother Jay was a recent guest on a couple weeks back. But
it's an excellent book, by the way, but that's another podcast entirely.
Yes, Broderick, check it out wherever. I don't know. Facebook probably.
I don't know where it's available. Yeah.
I got mine through Kickstarter. Anyway, in the multiverse that we may or may not be living in, there's another universe out there where Solich was retained, you know, beyond his tenure here in this earth and still allow, like you said, you know, Scott Frost could have still gone and you know, coached under you know, or you know, played and coached under the Bill Parcells and Bill Belichick's and the Chip Kelly's and yep. and come back to Nebraska and keep that lineage. I don't know if that's the right word, but it seems as appropriate as any. But keep that Tom Osborne lineage steady from, you know, a decade or so of Frank Solich to Scott Frost now, and so on. There's a world in which that happens, and I don't know if Nebraska is any more successful. I'm sure they would be. I don't think they'd be any less successful after, you know, the Callahan and Riley eras. But I think there's a world in which that happens, and maybe you know, there's a little bit more hardware in the trophy case since 2001. So I think you're right. And so far, I think really, and Haas, correct me if I'm wrong, aside from an outlier here or there, I think Frank Solich has kind of been the popular choice on that question.
Yeah, Solich has been the popular choice, which at first I kind of found surprising, but, you know, the more I think about it, it really isn't surprising because that, you know, that last link to days gone by, the glory days. So,
makes sense. And he's had lasting success at the Ohio University. So, you know, I had to get that dig in there just a little bit, but I think with the resources and the recruiting and all that stuff and the, you know, just Nebraska, he probably could have had more success than maybe any of his successors have.
So. Our finale is also perhaps one of the easy. I mean, we've been lobbing softballs. That's the fun of this. You know, there's nothing, not a whole lot of really critical thinking required. But this is, I think, an easy one. How did you start writing, or what brought you into coordination?
Pure accident, really. My wife and I both started following Salt Creek and Stadium on Twitter. Frankly thinking he was a bigger deal than he actually was. And we've told him this, Dr. Salt Creek and Stadium. We've told him this,
yeah, Doc,
on multiple occasions. Hey, my wife is a doc now too.
Hey, and the good doc is going to be next week's guest on the cross examination. So
good. So I hope that he listens. And we went to the red white scrimmage our first year living in Lincoln, and Salt tweeted something out about needing somebody to cover volleyball because it's just a volleyball hungry state and people love it. And I had spent the year prior stumbling my way through writing football articles for foreverahusker.com, which was Calvin Touchdown Jones's website. And I was just having a hard time getting a hold of him for what he wanted me to do for that upcoming season. And I thought, well, I like volleyball. I've been around it a long time. You know, let's see what it is. And so I replied to the text and said, hey, I kind of told him a little bit about my resume, as much as you could in 140 characters at that time. And then I got John's email, and now here we are. I think this is going to be my fifth season covering Husker volleyball for coordination. And then this is the fourth summer that I have covered alcohol in Nebraska. And this summer, it's going to be a brief series because it's impossible to cover breweries the way that they're opening in Nebraska. But what we're going to do is tomorrow, actually. So, well, Friday, July 13th, we'll post our article about, distilleries in Nebraska. Real brief, just talking about the five distilleries that are open in Nebraska, where to find them, and kind of getting you to those guys. For Friday, the 20th of July, we'll have a piece about Nebraska wineries, of which there are many. And then on Friday the 27th, we'll have a piece kind of updating you on where the breweries are out in the state of Nebraska, so that, you know, as we get into the football season, people know where to support their local Nebraska spirit makers, as it were. So, here we are getting ready to cover another volleyball season for coordination and the readers who hop in and comment and interact with us in the game threads and all that kind of stuff.
I don't want to second guess you. I met you in the fall of 2013. So, are you saying that was your first kind of year on board?
Yes, yeah, so this might be my sixth year then.
Okay.
Yes, that would have been my first year on board.
Okay.
I think that's right.
Because I know I went out there. It's tale as old as time, boy from Illinois. drives to Lincoln to audition to be the in-game, not play-by-play, but oh crap, that's probably why I didn't get the job. I can't even remember the public address announcer for Husker women's basketball in the new, brand new, still technically under construction, not quite finished Pinnacle Bank Arena. Boy drives to Lincoln. They are all kind of shocked because, like, you know that this is seasonal, right? And it's like, yeah, I'd move here. It's fine.
You're like, do you know who I am? It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, come on. I'm a coronation. What's the holdup here, fellas? And by the way, that was I was really, I don't say urged or anyway, but Brian was played a big part in that. He's like, dude, you should do that. That'd be awesome, and it would have been awesome. I don't know what they're paying now, but you know, it was like I said, seasonal and really part time. You know, 20 nights a year or something like that. So I would have had to have full time work. They're like, are you really going to move from Illinois to Lincoln just for this? We're like, yeah. It's a foot in the door.
What kind of question is that?
Yeah. And anyway, they went another route. But I will forever boast that I was one of the first civilians, as it were, in PBA, even though there was nothing going on. And it was a fun experience.
And that's definitely my first year because I have only covered Husker volleyball at Devaney.
There you go.
I did not cover, so that would have been the first year that Husker volleyball was at Devaney too. I did not cover it at the old Coliseum. I went to a couple of matches at the old Coliseum, but I never covered the team there.
And as the story goes, went to Laszlo's, had a dinner with you and your wife and David McGee,
yep.
Coronation photographer, yep. and inside genius David McGee was there as well. I think it was just the four of us. I don't know if there was a fifth. But we had a good time.
I believe it was just the four of us. Yeah, we had a great time.
And good beer. And then I...
Lavash.
I don't remember what I drank. Oh. But...
the Laszlo's Lavash. Some good
the
stuff.
The Laszlo's Lavash. You had... McGee made sure you got that. I remember that.
All right. Fair enough. There was a lot about that entire trip that's kind of a blur now, years later.
I
but,
believe you.
As we've...
Third Stone Browns.
What's that?
Too many third stone browns at Laszlo's?
You know, I was driving, so I was probably somewhat responsible, especially since I don't know my way around Lincoln that much. So, yeah. yeah, a good time was had by all. I still, you know, it's no secret on the Five Heart podcast that Hoss is the brains, and I'm just the guy pushing the buttons. He has the great memory. You've got the great memory. And all the smarts, and like I said, I just hit record and stop and do the audio aspect of it and hopefully entertain the people from time to time. Ty,
a critical role.
Yeah. Otherwise, we'd still be recording till next Tuesday because who forgot to hit the stop button? Ty, as we wrap things up, looking forward to your alcohol pieces on Coronation, which is... Yeah, it's just fun to say.
It is.
And what a great service you're doing for the fine adults of the good life who, you know, responsible and want to check out the local scenes in their area or maybe make a little day trip to a winery, distillery, or brewery. You're doing the Lord's work when you're bringing people and alcohol together.
Yes, well, thank you. I just, you know, there's a lot of good drinks being made around Nebraska, a lot of hardworking, you know, small town and you know, big city folks who are bringing their passion and something they're really excited about to the people. And I like drinking it, and I have a platform to talk about. So I want people to you know, check out what their neighbors are doing.
Now, is there a beer, ale, lager, pilsner, etc. at Blue Blood Brewing Company that is going to make Haas as happy as his Coors Banquet?
You know, anytime you go into it to one of the craft breweries, if you are a, you know, Coors Banquet or Bud Light or Miller or God forbid Bush Light,
don't put Coors Banquet in the same category as those.
As in the not beer category, that's where they all belong.
Have some respect.
You know I've driven past that brewery twice in the last week, right? Yeah, I just want you to know that I've seen your cathedral not that long ago.
Not only that, but yeah. He peed on the road, and they picked it up and put it in the brewery to make it, you know, the right flavor.
They didn't even have to carbonate it. But yeah, no. Anytime you go into a craft brewery, if you are a you know one of those drinkers of those big macro brews, those big breweries, a Kolsch or a Pilsner is going to be a beer that will make you very happy.
I'll tell you what, Kolsch's do make me happy. I'm a big fan.
Yes, I am.
Good luck. We're gonna wind things up here. Good luck to you and the ladies from Dorchester in the.
Thank you. Yep, we're going to get after it this year.
I was thinking more short term as far as the tournament this upcoming week. But the fall too. Yeah, because probably won't talk to you again until after the season. No, I'm kidding. You'll be very busy. And
when you guys need material on the off week for the football season for the bye week, you'll call me to talk volleyball. It's fine.
Probably or. I don't know. I mean, when's women's rifle? They're pretty good.
They are good. Them and women's bowling is good.
Women's programs are carrying the university right now. That's for sure.
They are. They are. And I'll tell you what, those women are representing well and really carrying that and proudly. It's awesome.
Haas, final thoughts this week, buddy?
Men are coming.
What was that?
I was going to say, Haas, any final thoughts this week? Your closing arguments,
you know,
if you will.
We had a converted buffalo on here, and it's someone who likes to insult Coors Banquet, but all in all, I think Old Ty is good people.
Ty,
he passed with flying colors.
You'll give our best to your family.
That host.
Hey, did, you,
what,
yeah,
what was
you
that,
didn't
Greg?
Incriminate yourself. You didn't incriminate yourself. You disparaged yourself, but. You got through it, flying colors, and we're willing to forgive the Buffalo fan.
Nobody that has listened to the podcast will ever think of a Honda Accord the same way again.
No, they'll be driving down the road, you know, whether it's Dodge Street in Omaha or O Street in Lincoln, they'll see a Honda Accord and they'll think of this podcast.
I hope
if you use your Honda Accord, right, everybody gets to go to O Street.
Two things. One, I hope that everybody who listens to this show and has a Honda Accord trades it in for something better. And two, and sincerely, give our best to your amazing family.
Absolutely will, gentlemen.
And
thank you so much for taking your time. And
this
podcast is awesome, guys. I really appreciate what you guys do.
Will you help us end out the show? You remember how it's done?
I'm pretty confident in it. It's just four really important words.
I say. Haas gets to say the four really important words.
Dang it! I don't. Then you know what? I have not. Then I need a refresher. I'll just let you guys do it.
No. We got it. We get you involved. I'm gonna say my little bit. I just need you to say "Go Big Red," and then Haas will say the four very important words.
I like it.
All right, and it's easy to remember too. All right, everybody, we appreciate you making it through this fun episode with you. Remember that it may not be safe for work, but it's probably also not safe for your kids' ears. At least the early part. But they can come in when we get serious about the Husker fandom. Thanks to Ty Peteranis for joining us, and again, best of luck to the Dorchester Lady
Longhorns.
Lady, I don't know why I was going to say Lady Rams, but that would have been, just another four-legged animal. All right, the Lady Longhorns of Dorchester, both at the upcoming tournament and in the fall. Remember that there is no greater high school volleyball program in the state of Nebraska than Dorchester volleyball, and I mean that because Ty's my friend, and. It probably will get me some heat in the comments. Bring it on! I don't care. So
let's go.
Yeah, that's right. And Ty will fight you personally. That's
I'll just put my arm out. I'm 6'7".
For Ty Peteranis, our esteemed guest, for Haas Reuter, my esteemed colleague, I am Greg Mahochko. You can follow us on social media. Just look for it in the post because. It's late, and I'm not going to spell everything out tonight. So we remind you this week and every week that 5 Heart is all the heart you need. Ty?
Go Big Red.
You just gotta keep winning the damn off season, man.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.